And as we spotlight the cities, we always like to bring in the mayor or the city manager, depending on what our community has. In this case, of course, the mayor of Lorain, Chase Rittenour, is here this morning. Good morning, Mayor. Good
morning. Thanks for having me.
So what kind of a view do you have out of your office over there on City Hall?
It's a nice view. It's one that I really shouldn't have, though. My goal is to move City Hall one day and have that area be dedicated to development. But as long as I have it, it's on the seventh floor, and it's a beautiful view. You can see the sun. You'd see the nice weather, but you can also see storms come in off the lake, which is pretty cool. So yeah, it's a very nice view.
You talk about moving, relocating City Hall someday. What would you like to see there?
Yeah, I'd like to see mixed use. I'd like to see a mixture of perhaps residential, retail options, dining options. And I think it's very doable, especially with a lot of the things that are going on in downtown right now with the entertainment. I think that just organically is continuing to grow to the point where, whether it be the Finger Piers, the West Bank of the Black River, the downtown area, or the space that City Hall currently occupies, I think is either in play or will be in play very soon.
We had Rick Novak in from the Port Authority yesterday. He spoke very highly of the Rockin' on the River series that's going on the weekends here in downtown Lorain. What have your thoughts been on that?
I think it's been great for the community. Bob Early, who has been doing this, I think, for 28 years in Cuyahoga Falls, is tremendous, easy to work with, great guy, knows what he's doing. Bringing 5,000-6,000 people to downtown Lorain during the weekend, mostly Friday nights, but some Saturday nights, along with some of the more special acts. You know, Michael Stanley's a big draw around here. You know, we got him into Lorain. Bob got him here. The Pink Floyd tribute, the Bob Seger tribute, the Jimmy Buffett one, all those really are popular draws, and some of them have actually former band members or current band members. So it's been really exciting, and what it's been able to do for the downtown to predictably get that many people into the downtown area is important. It's important to do because I think that's how we move properties downtown. That's how we get investors to come downtown and into the downtown area to open up shops, to open up restaurants. And if we can do it on a more predictable basis and continue to grow it, which I think is very doable, then we would need, you know, a hotel. You know, people ask me about a hotel all the time, and you know, my comment always is, we need to get the critical mass downtown to be able to support all of those things that people want to see. But I'll tell you right now, I was coming out of Jackalope last night. Todd Rundgren was downtown, and it was a 45-50 minute wait at Jackalope. I mean, so if we can do that on a more predictable basis, I think we're going to get those people, we're going to get that mass, we're going to need those things for them to do.
And of course, the Black River Landing, a perfect example of some industrial area that was switched over, made more access to the public, and the public has embraced it for all the different festivals and the different ways. So there is it allows them to enjoy the naturalness of it, which at one point was closed off to us.
Absolutely. You know, the public, you know, and I hear from not only Lorain residents, but people from outside of the city who Rockin' on the River has brought into the city for the first time or the first time in a while, who rave and say, hey, we had no idea. This is one of the best, if not the best, outdoor concert venues around. You know, Blossom doesn't have anything on us. And you hear that, and as you can add more entertainment, more options for people to enjoy it, it's very fulfilling. And I think, again, that's the direction with Bob Early and some of his partners that we're going to go.
You mentioned hotel. What does the future hold for the former Spitzer Hotel? Again, that's prime real estate downtown.
Well, there's a pending developer who was able to secure state historic tax credits, and you know, they've been working through that deal. But what I can say is, whether it be that building, whether it be the Finger Piers, some of the vacant properties downtown that actually some people have already started to put options in and put offers in on, is that the downtown property with Rockin' on the River and, you know, the Palace Theater just got a new board, and I think they're looking at becoming more involved in live entertainment as well. You know, they do the movies, but you know, Todd Rundgren there's some other acts that they're looking to get there. And you know, my vision is if the Black River Landing can be the summer venue and the Palace can be the winter venue, and we can have year-round entertainment downtown, all of a sudden that Spitzer Hotel building, a lot of those other buildings on Broadway, become very viable investment opportunities, become very viable places where, again, the restaurants, the shops, you know, the arts community is very vibrant downtown. All of that can come together. So you know, I think the future of the Spitzer Hotel, I think the market dynamics are changing to where the future of that property looks a lot better today than it did 2-3 years ago.
We're talking to the mayor of Lorain, Chase Rittenour. I was looking on the city's website. I see that looking to maybe get some applications in for police, potential police officers?
I think the police test would be, it's coming up actually, it's in mid-August, and we have done, and I credit the police department and Sergeant Rick Soto, we have done just a tremendous amount of outreach to try to let people know that there's a police exam being given. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we announce it in the newspaper, you know, you get a handful of applicants, and then you hear afterwards, well, if I would have known, I would have taken the test. I wanted to, you know, have a shot to be a Lorain police officer. So we've tried to go through any number of means, whether it be newspaper advertising. We've got a big banner up at the corner of where City Hall's located in West Erie, Broadway and West Erie, just that intersection. We've been actively approaching community groups, whether it be the NAACP, whether it be CHIP, whether it be through the mail system. We've put an insert in with our water bills. We're trying as many ways as possible. Now, with the changes at the state level in civil service testing, we've got to give tests every year instead of every 2 years. So actually, and I don't want to spoil anything, but Mayor Brenda and I have talked, and we're looking at some of our partners in the foundation community to come together to really put together a comprehensive recruitment plan for both Lorain and Elyria. Because for us, the more people taking the test, the better. We want a diverse applicant pool. We want, we want as many people taking it as possible. So when we're making our hiring decisions, we have a lot of people to choose from. And it's an issue Elyria confronts. It's one we confront. So I think this is the first step, but I think next year you're going to see even more recruitment efforts going on.
Yeah, details I thought, it looks like the exam is on the 18th of August, and I think through tomorrow is when they can pick up applications.
Correct, yeah.
For that as well. But that's always good to get in outreach, and people sometimes thinking, looking for careers, this is an opportunity for them too.
Absolutely. You know, it's been great. A lot of homegrown talent has we've hired some of that just recently. And, you know, again, whether homegrown or whether, you know, the community college does a police academy, you know, there are jobs out there. And, you know, we just want to make sure people know that.
Yesterday, I was out at the Ohio Assembly Plant in Avon Lake, big doings for Ford there. And, of course, once upon a time, the Ford plant here in Lorain was very vibrant. Now it's been divided up into some smaller businesses, portions of the plant not used at all. What do you see as the future for that area?
Yeah, I see the businesses out there now are really, from what I can tell, doing well. You know, Trademark Global is out there, Jiffy's out there, Heidelberg Distributing, which is a very, very solid business. They're very active in civic affairs. I see more of that, quite honestly. You know, With what Avon Lake was able to see yesterday is great news for Avon Lake, great news for the county, really. And it's going to impact Lorain, too. A lot of Lorain residents, my guess would be, are going to be positively impacted. And that's great. I mean, I root for other cities in the county. I want the county to do well, ultimately, as well as the city, of course. But, you know, that deal is an example of expansion or retention. And that's what we're seeing more in economic development. The days of going out and attracting something that size, typically we're working on expansion, we're working on retention. And, you know, that's what we're doing a lot with our businesses. And if you are having the attraction piece at play, and that doesn't mean we discount the attraction piece, it's 20 jobs, it's 30 jobs, it's 50 jobs. You know, it's small business that is really at the forefront of attraction. And, you know, I see a lot more of that out at the IRG. Yeah, it's what, you know, IRG is who owns the property now. I see a lot more of that out there in the future. I see a lot more of the nurturing the businesses we have out there. Just south of there, Industrial Parkway, we've got a number of businesses off of there. Turtle Plastics is out there. We've got a CrossFit gym out there. That's where Second Harvest used to be until they built their beautiful new facility. There's a lot of businesses out there. So that entire campus, to me, is an area where small businesses, I see more of that in its future as opposed to the, you know, 2,000 jobs are moving to Lorain. We'd love that. And believe me, when there's the opportunity, we go for it. But the reality of economic development today is more expansion. It's more retention. The attraction piece tends to be those smaller businesses that over time build up and get to be a large number of jobs over time.
You've also been active with trying to improve neighborhoods with the land bank efforts, and I know you'll be, I think you'll be part of something later this morning, right?
Elyria?
Yeah, in Elyria.
I don't know that I'll make it to Elyria. They did Lorain's a week ago, so they're okay. Doing Elyria's today. So,
for somebody who may not know what the land bank is, what is it? How does it work?
Sure. It's known as Land Reutilization Corporation, and Ohio law was changed in 2008, I believe, or 9, to allow land banks. And when I first came into office in early 2012, it was something that Lorain County didn't have that I believe that it needed to have. And partnering with Mayor Brenda, the county commissioners, Commissioner Kahlo and Kukowski, got together and said that this makes sense. And you know, as we did it, money became available through Moving Ohio Forward money through Attorney General DeWine's office. This was money that was part of a bank settlement for the foreclosure crisis. So Attorney General appropriated $75 million to be used for demolition. Well, that money has since been used. Lorain County actually was the best county in the state in terms of using the money the fastest. So we were we were on top of our game. We got the demos done quickly. Well, you know, for a year, the money, there's really no demo money. And a land bank is like I call it a beautiful new sports car, okay? It's a beautiful looking car, but if you don't have the gasoline, you can't enjoy the car. And the money for the land bank's the gasoline. And for a year, there was no money coming in. So demos were sporadic. This year, though, there's another round of money known as the hardest hit money. And this was money that was originally appropriated under President Obama through the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, in 2009 for foreclosure assistance. Well, the money wasn't used completely in Ohio, so a group of us pushed to have that money, you know, reappropriated for demolition. In order to demolish these houses that have fallen behind in foreclosure, there has to be a modification of the loan, which means essentially the land bank has to acquire the property. So that has taken a lot longer because you have to go through foreclosure. Even expedited foreclosure takes time. But in short, what you're seeing in Elyria, what you saw in Lorain, and you're going to continue to see in Lorain with these demolitions, is the fact that we've acquired these properties, the land bank has. It's holding them. We're going to knock them down. And now that the land bank has them, you know, I've had neighbors come up to me saying, hey, you know, I'd like that for a side lot. Hey, you know, can, you know, what's the price of that? Could I get that? I'd like to, you know, I'll take care of it, but, you know, I'm not going to build anything. I'll take care of it. I want a little extra room for picnics and that kind of thing, which is great. And, you know, what I've seen is, because demolition, as I go throughout the community, is a very popular thing. People want to see the blight gone. You know, vacant properties don't just look unsightly. They attract crime. They attract, you know, unsightly behavior. They attract, varmints and rodents and all sorts of different things that really hurt a neighborhood. The tall grass, it just looks terrible. So to get rid of that has been a very positive thing. And what I've seen is that in the areas where these vacant properties are, as the excavators, the demolition equipment assembles, people from those neighborhoods are coming out of their houses on the front porch and clapping as that thing's taken down. So a lot of these people felt like they were prisoners in their own neighborhoods. They felt like, you know, my neighborhood's being overtaken by blight and abandonment. For us to be able to get these knocked down, I'm sure Mayor Brenda shares the same sentiment. It's huge for neighborhoods. It's huge for morale. It's huge for pride. We'll have taken down after this round about 300 to 350. I would guess another maybe 100 to 150, if that, are the worst of the worst DNF properties that we want to see come down. So if we can get rid of all of our DNF properties, I think it will be transformational for our neighborhoods in this community.
Have you had a chance to get behind, to get in that front end loader, to get in the bulldozer seat and go have at it?
I don't get in the bulldozer. I think Commissioner Kukowski's made the attempt, but I just watched. They gave me a sledgehammer the last time. I said, I'll swing the sledgehammer like my golf swing, which was pretty ugly, but I'll swing the sledgehammer, you know, if you want me to, but, you know, she can take care of the equipment.
There are houses usually on either side of a house that's being taken down, and I don't know if those neighbors would appreciate somebody just for a photo op to get in there and
stop the builder. Yeah, I don't want that pressure.
Anything like that. Mayor Rittenour, we thank you for stopping over here.